next, the next part, that was the first part, introduction. And we come to this accommodation, this green part. And there we're going to see a tremendous accommodation, actually. We're going to see that they are holding fast notices in verse 13. They have held fast my name. For what Christ stands for, who Christ is, his standards, everything about it, they are holding fast. And secondly, in that city of Pergamum, they have not denied faith. We're not in a Pergamum yet. That may be coming. But one can just imagine the pressures to deny faith. And no doubt there were pressures, as was witnessed by this Antipas. This Antipas. Antipas passed, rather, two words there, against, anti-father, against the father. Others may have thoughts on this. What father might that be? Well, where are they? You know where Satan's throne is, right? Who is the father of lies? Who is that one that is the father that's the son of wickedness? That one that is contrary to all that is good. It would seem to be Satan. And perhaps his Antipas and others may. I've only found speculation. Thank you, on who this might be, but his name is very helpful, and he died as a faithful one, a witness for Satan dwells. That reminds us of our Lord. We're followers of our Lord, and this man followed the Lord. And as he faced this dark scene, he faced the same consequences that our Lord Jesus did. But we have the dream, we have the red now. Two things here. Notice that it moves from the word you hold, right, and have not denied the faith, until in verse 14, there are some, now this is review, there are some who hold the teaching of Balaam, and then we move down in verse 15, some, again, some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So this rebuke is in two ways. Two teachings. Interesting. There's a departure from teaching. One might just say, in terms of introduction, us younger generation, how much we despise the ongoing splits. But often there's a reason. There's a reason. Some hold to other teachings. And this review is because some do not hold to a teaching. We need to be careful to the teachings that we hold to. The first one, Balaam. Let's just remember a little bit of what Balaam is. Remember Balaam, that prophet that is asked by the king of Moab, Balak, to come and curse the people of God. And God overrules. It will not happen. It will not happen. But we read in Numbers later on that there was a change of strategy here. A change of strategy, and I'll mention this only for reference, and we can bring it up in our study. It says in Numbers 31, verse 15 and 16, that Moses said to them, "Have you spared all the women?" Verse 16, "Behold, these women caused the sons of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to transgress against the Lord in a matter of joy." And it goes on. And Balaam was one who, when the curse didn't work, another strategy was taken. And we know that in the church of Smyrna, we know about the suffering strategy, right? And the Christians, so many were faithful, that the world gave up on that strategy, and so did Satan. And now a new strategy of Pergamum is taken up, and we remember from what we see it, at this time we believe Constantine will come forward, he will have the church, and he will ally the state with the church. And so we come to the name. The name of Pergamum means marriage or much marriage. The second condemnation that is here is in verse 15 with regard to some holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans. And we've talked about that. I don't say any more about that now. There may be some discussion on that in the study. In verse 16, the instruction to them is to repent. Now, this is very interesting. It's to repent, therefore, or else I am coming too quickly that I will make war against them. The them is told to repent. That's very interesting. If so, ones who seem to be holding fast and not denying his name, that are told to repent. What is it then? What is it that they are to repent of? And I'll just suggest, as a starter, that in the church in Corinthians, those in Corinthians, do you remember those verses that that much that godly sorrow produces repentance? That was not written to the unbeliever. That was written to the church who hadn't dealt faithfully with the sin issues that were among them. Perhaps that's the thought here, and I'll suggest it is, and others can come alongside him and support that or instruct him. And then finally, we have this, this he who has an ear, this appeal to listen, as we've had in the other ones. And then last of all, a promise to him who overcomes. Now this is interesting, that these promises to the overcomer are both either hidden or very private. Notice that it says in verse 17 in the little verse, to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, hidden, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows, but he will receive something very private, something very intimate. There may be some suggestions on that. I'll just say, just looking at a little bit of historical, just from a historical background, often white stones were given to athletes. Okay, and they were white, and it was given to him personally, and it had various entitlements with it that went along. But perhaps this is what the apostle, the Spirit of God, is alluding to. So, an introduction to this, and I will close with that.